Right. What, sort this out. What is amazing, and this is very, very interesting, when you visit a church to preach, you often pray, well, always pray, what you bring is absolutely spot on. Have a guess what I'm going to talk about today.
Being spot on.
The parable of the sower. And being a seed. Absolutely incredible. You had no knowledge, did you? We need to talk about it before the meeting. Absolutely. So I've got my notes here. And it's a new take on the parable, but I will cover exactly what I believe the Lord wants me to cover. I was asked to speak sort of on a harvest theme, well, I thought I would go to the parable. I was speaking about growing as a Christian, all right? Growing as a Christian. And of course, this book, this amazing book, the Bible, is the place to learn to grow. As I said to you before, B-I-B-L-E are the best instructions before leaving Earth, all right? Mm. This book is amazing. It's incredible. And the more I study it, the more I find it interesting and profound. Of course, you cannot assume that growth is happening in a Christian. Sometimes you see, sometimes you don't. Many Christians are very good at coming to church and doing this and going out there and really not being the person God wants them to be, you know. We should be true to ourselves in church and true to ourselves outside of church. The Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. The whole purpose of a plant or a tree or a flower is to produce fruit. It is designed to reproduce itself. It has no other function. It might look pretty, it might shield you, but the basic function of every living plant or tree is to produce fruit. Is that correct? So our basic function is to produce fruit. It may be a tough message, but I want to open up by reading just a few verses from Ephesians 4. And I believe the church has got to wake up. This country needs a wide awake church.
Amen.
More than ever. This country needs people like you and I to stand. Listen to these words, Ephesians 4. Then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. We are living in a society where laws have been made and people are cunning and crafty and evil because Satan is robbing this country of its heritage in Christianity.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, we should be speaking the truth in love. We don't condemn people. And the church I help run in Boston is full of drug addicts and prostitutes. We don't condemn them, we love them. Amen. So speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We have a part to play in the body of Christ. Every single one of us, whether you're old or young, what male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jewish, we have a role to play in the church. And it's wonderful when we see a person come to faith in Jesus Christ and to observe them growing from a biblical point of view. However, in my experience going around churches, I don't always see this in the biblical sense of growing, joined together, held together in love, and to become mature in the body of Christ. Many of people in churches just want to come, have a bit of milk and go away again. Next week get a top up, and between Sunday and Sunday, their faith is not very good. They don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they don't witness. And I believe that we are going to stop doing it. We're going to be people of the Word. People who live out what God has given us. So, as part of the introduction, I want to draw a chart which I'll refer back to as we go through the message. And this is quite an interesting chart. I'm going to draw it, you could call it a model. Right. This is spirituality, spiritual growth, SG, all right? That's not right, isn't it? Do you all see that on this side? Hang on, shall I move it? Is that better? Well, this table's heavy here, aren't they? Great chap. Right, here is what I call the death line. Right? Okay, and this is time. Okay, like that.
Sorry, just, yeah.
Right. I've messed up my system now, here we go. Right. Hallelujah. There is a point in life when we meet Jesus, we go from death to life. You got that? My pen's running out. All right? You got that?
Yeah.
This is a point you realise it's not about religion, it's not about church so much, it's about knowing Jesus as your loving saviour. Yeah? It's a whole new ball game. Now, I have observed over my many, many years in ministry, all two of them, is that when people come to Christ, they grow differently. Okay? Some people will grow well, and then, unfortunately, after maybe a period of time, they plateau. But they're quite good, actually, that they're involved in the church, they're doing stuff, but they still plateau. What they're doing today, in terms of their Christianity, is what they were doing 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago. Other Christians, through all the trials of their faith, they grow to a low level. They haven't quite got it, really. But they found Jesus, and they love him, but the passion's not there. They haven't really, really, basically got it. Sad to say, other Christians rise and then fall. They lose the faith. Some people say, if you're really truly born again and really love Jesus, you shouldn't do that. You can't do that. But I've seen it. I've seen people. There's a lady I know of, a very intelligent lady. She's a business lady. Her husband's a monk, you know. A good monk, though, you know, very meditative, like me, you know. Very quiet, like me. Very sort of reserved, like me. But she's now gone to believe in Buddhism. I mean, get that one, honestly, like that. I believe this in all my heart, in all my soul. And when you meet Jesus, we have our ups and downs, but our growth should be continual. Line upon line, precept upon precept, to be more like Jesus. None of us, I have not arrived, I am learning stuff today I never knew about. And this message is all about that. I don't want you or I to be plateau Christians. Happy where we are today, because we've been doing it for 20, 30 years. I want to put a passion in you and me to grow more, yes? So I'm talking to all of you. I hope none of you are here. I hope none of you are even living your life down here. Because the wages of sin is death. Romans 23, but the gift of God is eternal life. Okay, so I'll refer back to this chart a little bit. This is the premise of the chart. And then you can see what Jesus meant about growth in the parable of the sower, which is in Matthew 13, which John has already explained to you, which is incredible, isn't it? That's not a coincidence, is it? Of all the verses in the Bible, for him and I to choose the same without any prior conversation, that really inspires me.
Yeah.
It inspires me in many ways, not least of which, to see that John's in the Spirit. Anyway. Right. And again, I love the simplicity at this level and the complexity at this level of Jesus' parable. You think you've got it, but there's more to it than you realise, yeah? He taught divine principles through parables. A farmer from Wiltshire went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still others fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever hears has ears, let him hear. Then of course the disciples, who were quite sick in many, many ways, didn't get it. So a bit later on in the chapter, Jesus had to understand. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. When the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times that which was sown. Understanding the word. To understand something, you have to study it. To learn it. This word is life. You won't find life anywhere else other than in His word. Hallelujah. So I just want to draw a few pictures. I'm very sort of visual, as you know. I just want to unpack this word simply for a few seconds, then go into a bit more detail in terms of what the parable means. Now the seed is the word, alright? So the seed is the word. In John 1:1, Jesus is the word, the Logos. Logos, yes? You got that? So we're talking in two points here. Jesus is the word. And we know that the seed that fell on the path, the birds came along and took that seed, yes? That's the first one, yeah? Now this is important. See, it's where the seed falls that makes the difference. John alluded to that earlier. It's the same seed, it's the same word, it's the same Jesus, yes? But it's where it falls that makes the difference. And the seed of God has to fall into our heart, our inner soul, the real you, the real me. I mean, it gets there by the Holy Spirit, but it's energized and grown by our understanding of the word of God in us, right? If you don't know it, you can't do it. Yes? You have to know what God wants us to do. You have to know the Spirit of Christ in you. And how you know that is by the Holy Spirit, yes. By prayer, yes. By coming to meetings, yes. But it's the word of God. It's the most important. It will not fail away. This earth, as we know, will pass away. But this word will not pass. Amen?
Amen.
See, it's important to understand the value of the word, the value of the seed. See, and this is so true today. The word of God is being sown in today's society. The devil, the evil one, through processes, through lies and deceit, is taking the seed out of babies' mouths. This school, hallelujah, has the word of God in it, right? Many schools have not got the word of God in it, right? One American commentator said, why is it we've banned the Bible from schools and yet when we have a massacre, we all go and pray about it? If we had the Bible in the schools in the first place, perhaps we don't get massacres. You know, put the Bible in the right place and God will change your life. Put the Bible in the right place, it will change your household. Put the Bible in the right place, it will change the school. Put the Bible in the right place, it will change society. Put the Bible in the right place, the government, it will change our laws. The word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. It will divide and sort out things that no politician can sort out. It will divine and sort out things that a marriage counsellor can't sort out. Amen? So powerful. So we live in a society where we sow the seed, yet the devil is sending flocks of birds, taking the seed away, out of government, out of school, out of our lives. You witness at work or out there in society, and they'll say, oh no, that's not right, because the devil's giving them the wrong seed, yeah? Taking it away. The seeds that fall amongst the rocks, you know. And we've met people like it. It's so sad to see this. But excuse the colour here, that the seed pops up lovely and all of a sudden the sun comes out and the thing dies and falls apart. We're seeing that. It grew too quickly. I received it with joy, but there was no root. When trouble and persecution come, I met Christians, like, you meet them and they might be great for 6 months or a year, but when it hits a fad, they fall away. This is the saddest thing. Young people in churches, they love Jesus. Oh, it's great. But really their life isn't completely rooted in Christ. All their hormones start to run at the age of 15, 16. They can't find a boy or a girl in the church. So they go and find somebody outside. And the roots wither because there's no roots. That happens in churches every week. It happens in Christian homes every week where boys and girls run off and meet their first love in school or at the club or something. Without roots, they fall. God help them. Root your kids in the Word of God. Be rooted in the Word of God. How about this one? Among thorns, a similar one. You know, this is so, I mean, again, I've seen this so many times. A great, it's about to bring fruit, and then the fruit a bit nastier. The thorns come alongside, and they choke out. Yeah? What's this talk about? I hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word and make it unfruitful. We live in a wealthy society. Most of us are wealthy. Most of us have got food. Most of us have got a place to live. A missionary went to, I think I said before, to India. And the missionary would say, "We're praying for you in your poverty." And the Indian guy said, "We're praying for you in your wealth." Because wealth is a blocker. You know, how many Christians think more about working? You know, I read something recently. You know, if we serve God, the same amount of effort we serve our paycheck, perhaps the church will grow. It's a strong word. See, I'm 72, or should I say, I'm 52 plus VAT. You know, I'm going to work till I drop because of the job to be done in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Don't let the cares of this world choke you. Don't let people you mix with choke you. God is not mocked. Bad company corrupts character. God is not mocked. You are who you're with. Now I'm not saying don't go out there, but go out there in your terms, in God's terms. I play squash in the club, people know me there and I'll play with people there. I do a bit of work with my little motor car, I do it purposely. I don't witness the people, I ask them questions, I talk to them and then eventually I say, "Hey Bob." Then that's the question. I remember we were doing some work on a car once and this guy was under the car and he swore. And he said, "Sorry, Vicar." I said, that's okay. You don't judge people. You let them know that you love Jesus. Yes? But when you're out there, don't watch and do what they do. Stand for Jesus. Don't let those thorns choke you. Amen? Interesting. And then you've got the good soil. You know, I've been in business all my life. And where in business can you get one seed to produce 100-fold? It's just impossible. You know, if you said to me, "Give me a pound, Bob, and in a year's time you're worth £100, I'd be like, "You're joking." It might be worth £1.50 at the present interest rate. But in the economy of God, the word of God is so powerful. You said this a moment ago, John. It's possible. What was your maths again? 100?
Generations of a million.
Amazing. I forgot the actual figure. If every Christian in the world brought one Christian to Christ a year, the whole world would be Christian in something like
32 years.
There you go. Alright? Okay. My next heading in orange here, you see, the full authentic orange. It says conditions of your growth. Right. When you plant a seed. Now, I am no gardener, right? and I have not a clue. Right, but I've got some seeds here, and when you plant them, you look for the right place to plant them. All right, now I'm sticking my neck out here. Shade or sun? What?
Acid or alkaline?
Yeah, acid or alkaline. I don't know, but you would do that. Do you know, if you're a gardener, you would put the seed in the right place. Our Father is a gardener, and He's put you here in the right place. Amen. You're here to grow, bro. You want to do something that you've never done before. You want to not plateau. You want to grow in new ways, my friend.
Amen.
You see, you look. And what you sow, you hopefully get what's on the packet. Yes? Okay, you got that. You're not going to sow a cucumber and expect flowers, are you? All right? See, when the seed is planted in us, Jesus expects to bring the fruit of the Word. Now, you might be a flower, beautiful, and bringing the Word of God, and people say, oh, you're a beautiful Christian. You might be a cress or a spice, that you bring spice to people's lives. You might be a pea, like in this packet here. Helps feed people. We've all got different gifts. We flower differently. We bring different fruit. But our gardener is God. He's put us here. So you're here by God's grace. You might be here sometime, but stay where you're planted. And bring forth the fruit. See, there are instructions on a seed packet not to overwater or to underwater, all that sort of stuff, to add certain fertilizer, sorry, or whatever, you know. And you've got to know that. If you want a big crop, you have to work below the soil. If you want a big crop for Jesus, you have to work below the soil where nobody sees you. Also seasonal. Winter, spring, summer, autumn. We know about autumn, Michaelmas, where it's called, right? Yeah. But in winter, you don't normally find many flowers around, do you? Winter time is a time for work. It's stuff that's not seen. You work at your soil and it still looks like soil. But what you plant there in the Word of God is there. And very often in the seasons of toughness, in the seasons of storm, in the seasons of problem, that's where God will plant seed in you that can't plant in the summer. You water that seed with the Holy Spirit. You find out about that seed from the Word of God. You understand that seed that God has put in me and you will bring fruit. Fruit that will last. And what happens in the future. But sometimes that season might be a long time. But by grace it will grow. And eventually a little green shoot pops out of the ground and starts to grow. And then in the autumn you get the fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. We go through season. And I think I've preached it here before. It's good to know the season you're in. You're about to go through a season, January through March, I believe. That's a season. If you're a clever gardener, you don't look for flowers in winter. Amen. In the fall or the autumn, it's a time to clear away the old stuff. Take out the stuff that is dead in your life and prepare the ground. Hallelujah. There's so much in this parable. You know, Psalm 92, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. If you've ever been to a hot country, you see a palm tree, it's in desert, the water table is quite low. You look up, massive green leaves, and again, I'm not sure, you either get a date palm or a seed palm, and they just hang down and be fruitful, yeah? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedars of Lebanon. Again, they are tall, strong trees, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age.
Yes.
Hello, I'll say that again. They will still bear fruit in old age.
Yeah, hallelujah. I'll wait for them.
Well, then just a bit of that, you know. Right. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, church. Again, there's not a reference in Job, or in my book, it's Job, Job 17. Nevertheless, the righteous will polish their ways, and those with clean hands will grow stronger. The Bible is clear. We have to hold on to the ways that God has given us. Jesus said, I am the
way,
the
truth,
and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Hallelujah. He says again, must have clean hands. What do I handle with my hands? My money, the people I'm close to, the TV controller. What do I watch? What do I buy? Who do I have affection for? Are they Christians? Are they people in the right way? Do I have an affection, excuse me, but do I have an affection for woman because I'm married? I fancy her.
Oh, thank you.
I do. But it's wrong. What do our hands handle? Our hands are the way we live lives, aren't they? We can be clean or dirty with our hands. The righteous have clean hands. Who can lift up hands in the house of God?
Yeah.
I think the cause with the clean hearts of people. The Bible is inspirational. The famous about the vine, if you remain in me, and listen to this, and my words. The spiritual and see. You cannot live the Christian life without the knowledge of God. And so many Christians don't go there. So if you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you ask, may wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Yes? John 1 is there, you know. 2 Peter 3. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so you not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position. Don't let any of this trip you up, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Righteousness. What do we handle? What do we do? Growth has a destiny. My next point. See, when you plant these seeds, the destiny is, in this case, cress, pearl, whatever that means, cress, right, or flowers. The destiny of the seed in this packet is to become a flower. The destiny in the seed in this packet is to become watercress or some sort of cress. Do you know that you and me have a destiny in Christ? We have a future in Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not here just to we have a destiny. Now I don't know, these things probably take 6 months or 9 months to grow, but our destiny is eternal. Hallelujah. I just love this whole concept of the seed. Interesting. When the sower went forth to sow, it was all the same seed. The destiny of the seed depended on where the seed fell. Same seed. Don't blame the seed. Blame the reception. Oops, sorry. Is it there? Lord, I love your word. I love your word. I agree with living in the last days. I don't know if I'll be, if I'll see Jesus in the air or see him, well, I'll see him in the air rather, but when I was die before. But we are certainly living in the last days. There's so much kicking off that pointing. I know some of you guys here are drawn to that. But be careful. It says this in Matthew 24, the great chapter revealing the end times. Because of the increase of wickedness. Do we agree the wickedness is out there? It's just increasing. Stuff kicking off today that 40 years ago wasn't on the horizon. You know, it's just evil. It says this, the love of most will grow cold. Be careful. See, when you read this, it will protect you. It will protect your love for Christ. When you read this, you know, in my Bible, it was truth in action. It was just how you understand it's part of God's kingdom. How did God do this? How did the creation of the universe give us his Son on the cross? I don't understand it really. It's a mystery. But when I see a magnificent building like the cathedral in this town, you look at, wow, how do they do that with building techniques of 800 or 1,000 years ago? Yeah, it's beyond belief. But what you do, you look at it and think, wow. The same with this, with Jesus. I don't understand this. Wow. Lord, you're so lovely. I know, Lord, how do you understand this? I don't really know much about the Bible. That's true, actually. But Lord, wow. So sometimes the only way to understand a mystery is to say, because by definition, it's a mystery. Many people tell me, oh, the Bible's not true. Because it's a mystery, it's a love thing. Jesus died, didn't he? He gave his life for you. Hallelujah. It's a mystery. Paul calls it a mystery. You know, and the seed will just help us to grow. It's essential to hold the truth of the Bible. See, to plateau or to, you know, fall away is a pretty tough call, really. Again, in Job 8:11, can papyrus grow tall where there is no marsh? Can reeds thrive without water while still growing and uncut? They wither more quickly than grass. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. So perish the hope of the godless. Senior stuff. The Bible is so clear. We have to understand, we have to be rooted in the Word of God, fed by the water of His Spirit. And we all know about John 15, you know. If there's a branch that is withered, the father of the garden will come and cut it off and bring it to fire. God's going to do this in some churches. There are some people who suck the life out of the church, who contribute nothing and aren't even born again. They've got all the outside stuff. But in order for the church to grow, God will cut them out and then be sent to the wrong place. A day is coming when it's going to be so tough out there that some of us won't stand that. Be on your feet in the road. Abide in me, Jesus said, and I need to be fruit. But the Father whom will come along to cut off that which is not the truth of fruit. And as a pastor, that hurts me. But over my life as a pastor, I've had the power to say to people, sorry, you're not welcome in this church. You're causing disunity, you're causing gossiping. I don't even believe you're born again. My spirit says that you're not with Christ. So please go, because the church will not grow. We need to pick it up. It's there. You read John 15, you know. Matthew 7, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you recognise them. Again, this is the destiny of the seed. I don't know this, but I guess if a farmer farms a whole acre of stuff and it completely gets damaged and destroyed by some sort of outside force, you have to turn it in back and forth or whatever. It's no good for eating. Don't get contaminated by this world. Don't let the seed that God has given you falter. My wife's better than me. If my wife planted those, it would eventually show in my garden. The fruit that God has planted in you in this place will eventually grow. One more scripture. Again, this is profound. Sometimes there's this sort of thing between predestination and random. I've got the answer to that. I'll just let that be the Lord. You did not choose me, the Lord said. But I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. See, even there, Jesus' words, I chose you and appointed you that you might just go to church. Yeah. Bear fruit. Fruit in your own life, your family's life, your kids' life, your social life, your work life, everywhere. Okay? You get the message. And for a close with this. You know, every day that you and I live, we are producing fruit. We don't know it half the time. The way you talk to somebody, you're showing them your fruit. Oh, you idiot. Well, that's right. That's bad fruit. If I say, oh, I love you, encourage people, that's good fruit. The trouble is, some of us don't realise we're in bad fruit sometimes. We gossip and do naughty things. That's bad fruit. But the good fruit that Jesus talks about is eternal fruit, isn't it? Fruit that will last. So in closing, I want to ask you a question. Where do you think you are on this? You know, let's just, A is the one that goes, you know, are you a B curve, a C curve, or a D curve? Are you a seed that's planting and is growing year on year to be more like Jesus? Or have you been a Christian so long that you've plateaued? Or been at a good level? And I'm not saying this for sake. You might be the worship band, you might be the treasury, you might be the Sunday school workers. Right. Are you growing? You can't run your plateau. I pray with all my heart there's nobody here that can be on this line where you know Jesus and you fall away. But we're living in the last days, that you've got to be careful of that. The word of God will keep us from that. So my question is, what line are you on? And if you're not in the right line, I pray that you will, with me, really study the Word of God. Love Jesus with all your heart. And see good fruit in your life. And that fruit will last forever. Amen. Can I pray for you? I pray my eyes open, because I just do that. If I pray sometimes with my eyes shut, I fall over. I'm in prayer walking. Anyway, I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I just pray that myself and all these people here will bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Maybe, Lord, you're going to take us on a journey through storm and through winter, and to put new seed in us that might bring fruit. I pray, Lord, we'll be good soil. I pray, won't the devil talk to us and take the word away. I pray, Lord, that our hands be clean. I pray, Lord, we'll keep good company and be witness in this town that your kingdom may grow for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just in case you forget. Okay, thank you very much, Bob. That was